Following the baptisms last week, I thought we would start a mini-series of talks looking at loving our church and what it means to be a member and a regular attender here. What our church is. How can we faithfully follow Jesus, being part of a local, Christ-centered fellowship, and really make a difference? If we are to love our church, then we need to know what our church is and who we are. If the people I look at here are my family, then I have responsibilities. Not just me as your minister, but you. In some families, there is a head of the family. You may have looked up to your parent as the head of the family. In our Baptist church family, we are all one. I am not the head. It is my job to lead you, but not to be above you. The first thing we're going to look at is to do is look at who we are. Picture what God has gifted us. And that's Galatians 4:4-7. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. The spirit calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. We are all God's children, called to be brothers and sisters in Christ. God has given us this family. And if you look at the person next to you or in front of you, you are sitting amongst them, your family. Look at each other. Have a look round. Your Christchurch family. Under Roman law, an adopted child was guaranteed all legal rights to his father's property, even if he was formerly a slave. He was not a second-class son. He was equal to all sons, biological or adopted, in his father's family. As adopted children of God, we share all Jesus' rights to God's resources. As God's heir, we can claim all that he has provided for us. Our identity as his children. Romans 8:12-17. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh, but to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those of you who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and we hear him cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit testifies with our children that we are God's children. We are his heirs. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. That talk about sufferings and glory, that made me think back to my years of trips at the Arise and Shine Children's Home in Kenya, the orphanage. The first visit, so much that saddened and shocked me. In those first few days, I found it hard to look beyond the children and what they went without. I was consumed by the desire to want to provide for them in a material sense. Also to give them a family, to take a child home with me, make them part of my family. I thought how awful that they only had three sets of clothes, school uniform, Sunday best, and after school tatty clothes full of rags and holes. I thought of the excess of what we had at home. The choice, the fact that we couldn't decide what to wear on any given day because we had so much, and how could that not be enough? I got het up thinking about the families they didn't have, missing completely the family that they did. The home they were in was a Christian home, and they were a family. They weren't birth relatives, or some of them were, but they were a family. The staff treated them like their own. God was in every part of their day in that home, from praying before school to praying for the food that filled their bellies to giving thanks for the day before they went to bed. They were a family under his instruction. We are a family, us here, within the building and the wider Christian community. We share a wonderful unity with the other churches in Stoke because we know we are family. We worship the same God, we just go about it, some things differently. I've just read a book by a man called Tony Merida, and from his book and in his words, when we go to church, we do much more than go to a religious meeting. We sing praises to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We sit under the Word of God. We partake in the Lord's Supper. We observe a baptism. We have fellowship with fellow family members, and we pray together. We are part of something different, something glorious and eternal. And all of that is made possible through the saving work of Jesus Christ. When we tell someone we go to church on a Sunday, I wonder what they really think we do. Do they realise we go in to be sent out? It's time to look at what the New Testament says about church. Belonging, a gospel-centred family. Community, people long to be part of a community, whether that be church, a yoga class, a bridge class, an art class, a neighbourhood watch group, a choir. Everyone has a desire to belong. The popularity of social media shows the longing we have for community. Facebook friends, for instance. People want to be known to have friends. However, to experience the blessing of belonging to a community, you need to be present. God gave us a need for community. God is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This week, we had dinner with some friends who are retired, and they are believers, but they said they stopped going to the local church because sometimes they were out for 2 hours. I couldn't help myself thinking, 2 hours out of 24 hours, of which we have 7 days in a week. Really? God doesn't deserve that. They have another hobby that takes up a huge amount of time, which they do 5 days a week for more than 2 hours a day, and there you have it. They want community, but they are getting it from somewhere else, neglecting their faith in view of another pursuit that they deem to be more worthy. Let's look at Jesus' community. Luke 6:13-16. At daybreak, he called together all of his apostles and chose 12 of them. Here are their names. Simon, whom he named Peter. Andrew, Peter's brother. James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas. James, son of Alphaeus. Simon, who was called the Zealot. Judas, son of James. Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. Who were these men? Why were they chosen? What were they? They were ordinary. Chosen to be trained by Jesus and those whom would be sent out. What was special about them? Well, Jesus chose them, so he deemed them to be special. But actually, their biggest attribute was that they were ordinary, just like you and me. Or maybe you wouldn't always describe me as ordinary, but no need to get personal. They were no doubt very different in their skills, diverse in their personalities, but together they could do immeasurably more. Alone we are able to do a little, together we can do much more. Like our friends who don't go to church anymore because the service is too long, their faith is weak because they aren't surrounding themselves with like-minded people. They've opted out, if you like, and now surround themselves with people who enjoy the same activity as them. They're happy to take an active role in that, being the secretary, making the teas after the game, organising a day out. It's something they clearly enjoy. However, that's not going to equip them to be sent out as disciples of Christ, is it? They're allowing their faith to drift, to become something on the periphery of their lives, not something that centres their life. They had far more to say about their activity, even though there were many references to their faith in their house. You definitely felt God was in the background, not in the forefront. What can we do to protect ourselves from letting God slip into the background? Psalm 91, 14 to 16 in the Message. If you hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best care. If you'll only get to know and trust me, call me and I'll answer. Be at your side in bad times. I'll rescue you, then throw you a party. I'll give you a long life, give you a long drink of salvation. God wants us to reach out to him. He will give us the best care, but we have to know him. Pray to him, he is listening. Trust him. When the bad times come, he'll be there. When he rescues you, tell others. Rest in the promise he has given you, eternal life. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you have called us to a life of faith. We want to be faithful. Whenever we lose our way, Lord, you are patient and forgiving. We are called to a life of service and ask that you show us our gifts and how we may use them. God, we ask that you strengthen us in our times of weakness. Allow us to quieten our minds in times of worry. Lord, as a church, help us to be present. We are called, Lord, to a life of love, and we want to love one another as we work together here at Christchurch as a community of believers, a family. Lord, we pray to love you more faithfully and follow you more actively. At times, we may not always love others as you ask us to. We are quick to judge and slow to accept differences. Sometimes too quick to anger and often too slow to forgive. Lord, fill us with the love and forgiveness that you want us to possess. At times we may love our own comforts more than we should. We may hold back our time and our energy for our own benefit. But Lord, sustain us, fill us with faith and help us to stand firm. Lord, your love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. You rain your love and blessings on us. And Lord, we ask that we respond with gratitude and service. Accept our thanks, that you strengthen us for the work you call us to, and that you support us in times of need and struggle. Lord, today bless us, renew our energy, and give us a thirst for you in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.